Welcome to another edition of the Litigation Psychology Podcast, brought to you by Courtroom Sciences. Dr. Bill Konaski, joined with Ava Hernandez, my colleague, my friend. Ava, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Doing well. A little bit tired, but you know, it's the way it goes. We got off to a bang, 2024.
Yeah. What a crazy start. If the start is any indication on how this whole year is going to go, wow. Get some extra sleep on the weekends. If you can possibly do that. So we're continuing with our MedMal series. I did a solo podcast last time. I'm talking about preparing witnesses, training witnesses, nurses specifically. And we can kind of do a little summary here, and I could get some of your thoughts as well. And yeah, you know, as we all know, there in medical malpractice, there's different tiers of nurses. Oftentimes, they're going to be deposed in these cases, and I think these different tiers of nurses, you have different challenges. And in my experience, we talked about the more I hate this just lower level nurses. I hate that term.
I hate that term too. I hate it.
You know, your LPNs, your CNAs. These are more entry level nurses. They have training. They're certified. But they're not what we're going to be talking about today. And they're doing they're doing all the dirty work. I mean, they're doing a lot of, you know, bedpan stuff and sheet changes and, you know, transporting patients. I talked on the last podcast about, you know, my mom being in the hospital and how useful and important they are to the system. And, but you know, they don't have as much education as the higher level nurses. And, when they get dragged into the legal system, boy, you know, there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. A lot of them kind of think that they're going to lose their job if they don't do well. And the testimony, many of them have other things going on in their lives. So I spent a whole podcast doing that. But I'd like to hear about your experiences as well. I find particularly probably the number one thing with those particular nurses is just the whole fear and anxiety aspect coming into the legal system, and they're meeting with attorneys. And I again, more than half of them really feel like their job's on the line, and they're terrified. And these are not really high paying jobs either. So what's your experience been with more of those, you know, the LPNs, the CNAs, the more basic nursing staff?
Yeah, I think I've had a very similar experience. I mean, our medical system, especially in hospital and, you know, outpatient settings, is typically so hierarchical, right? We've got this chain of command. We've got someone who's in charge and then someone under them and under them. And it's structured in a very specific way. And I think that, you know, when you get a little bit accustomed to being a little bit lower down on that chain, when you get really used to in your life, day in, day out, not being equipped, or just the way that your job is structured to make some calls, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of be the person at the end of the line that has to stand by their decision. It's tough to do that suddenly in the deposition room if that's not something you're typically empowered to do in your day to day. And empowered maybe is the wrong word, because we have that structure and that hierarchy for a reason most of the time. Right. There's a reason why we've got that organization structured in that way. For safety, for a big reason.
And I think they come in scared to death. And again, these are really hardworking, important people, but they get asked a lot of questions. A lot of those questions are over their head, as they should be. And, you know, they can get in trouble with saying too much, right? Getting out of their lane. And so there's a lot of fear-based stuff and anxiety-based stuff that we deal with those. But then that brings in the more higher-trained nurses. You have nurses that, you know, BSNs, MSNs, nurse practitioners. PA and nurse practitioner are very similar. We'll save PA for another day. But nurse practitioners, I mean, they have prescription privileges. I mean, these are really highly trained people. And so when training these folks, It's a different animal. So you have, much more education and training, a lot more responsibility. They compared to the lower level, nurse have far more communication with the physicians.
Right.
And then you got the whole concept of a nursing manager who's now managing nurses, right? I mean, there's a lot going on here. And as in medical malpractice, nursing care is often criticized. Their documentation is criticized. Their communication is criticized. Things that come up with these folks, depending on the floor, some of these floors, the patient provider ratio is 8 to 1 on the general surgical floor, right? Or the general medical floor. And then you go into a step down unit and then it's 2 or 3 to 1. And then
Right.
you're in ICU, it's 1 to 1. And then the other challenge, with these folks is they come in on shifts. And then so, you have one patient and maybe 4 to 6 different nurses involved in the litigation have treated that patient. They've all charted at different times. It's a real headache. And as medical charting, I'd rather do Chinese algebra than try to go over medical charting and try to figure that out. And so, and then they get to deposition. So I find that these folks come in, they're far more confident than the LPNs or the CNAs. They come in, these are tough people. These are tough people. And many of nurses are female. There are some males as well. But regardless, these people come in, they're very, very tough. And they have to be because nursing is a very, very tough job. I noticed that they come in, I think the one thing that really stands out is the amount of care. I mean, you don't go into nursing because, hey, this sounds good. No, like you have to have some deep desire to care for people because that's not an easy job. So they come in pretty less, I think, less on the fear, anxiety part. And if anything, come in more on they're kind of running in the red. They're a little hot or defensive or upset that their care's been challenged. They're oftentimes offended that their care's been challenged because they're so passionate. About their jobs. Kind of just overall, tell me about your experience with these types of nurses, because I think they're just complete. I think at least my approach, I know yours too, is this: we have to approach these folks very differently from the CNA and the LPN.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think what I see most often when it comes to the nurse practitioners or your charge nurse or your nursing manager or something like that is the deposition often becomes the arena where these inevitable sort of push and pull dynamics between nurses and physicians
Oh yeah.
and other people on the floor kind of plays out, particularly when maybe one defendant represents the nurses because they're attached to the hospital, and the other defendant is the doctors and the doctor's practice group, and we're sort of co-defendants, and we're not necessarily lumped together. As particularly when you've got that distinction as well, I find that it often consists of a lot of the deposition becomes the arena where it's a little bit of the frustrations that those nurses might experience on a day-to-day basis, where maybe they don't feel heard or listened to because they don't, even though they have a really high level of education, they still don't have something that matches the physicians. So they still are a little bit lower on that chain. Sometimes that plays out a bit in deposition, and kind of navigating that becomes something we work a lot in prep. You know, a lot of stay in your lane kind of talk, a lot of understanding of the way that this process works and getting okay, and you know, dealing with just the annoyances of your daily work life, where you aren't respected and heard in perhaps the same way that other people are.
Yeah, so you bring up a couple good points. Number one, you get the us versus them. Most, not all the time, but most of the time, the physicians in the case have completely separate counsel, separate insurance coverage. And this is where it's a lot of finger pointing can occur. I mean, like it or not, I've seen many of physicians at that position blame nursing care
all the time.
and vice versa. There is, like in any industry or job, plenty of hospital politics going on. Certain physicians have certain reputations. So you can get a lot of potential crossfire here. And then, you know, what really, you know, sets people up, particularly these nurses, is if it gets out, which is going to eventually, either by rumor or in testimony, when the nurse finds out, like one of two really bad things can happen. Number one, they find out a physician has thrown them under the bus. Wow, talk about some anger, number one. But then number two, because you have these cycles of nurses coming in, sometimes you have inter-nurse competition, and then nurse A testifies and said, "Hey, I did my job," but nurse B, God, he or she doesn't know what she's doing. And then you have that type of blame. Can you describe a little bit about what you've witnessed from the anger that comes out from that? Because when a nurse gets criticized by a plaintiff, that's one thing. You get criticized by one of your peers,
Your
right?
own
Or
colleague.
a physician, you know, what does that do to the witness mind?
Yeah, I tell witnesses a lot when I'm working in medical malpractice, you know, which I did for many years before I started working here at Courtroom Sciences. It's such a fascination of mine because we not only have the individual, right? We not only have the individual nurse seeing the patient in this moment in time. But especially when this care takes place within a hospital system, right? It's inevitably wrapped up within this organizational structure. You can't separate that individual nurse's care from your charting policies. You can't separate that individual practitioner's care from the way that they intersect with other nurses, with the LPNs, with the physicians, with the techs, with everybody else. It's all intertwined. So you've got the personal and the organizational in one. In medical malpractice, I think that comes out in a particularly unique way. So I find that when dealing, working with nurses, or really any medical professionals, but especially with what we're talking about, there tends to be a lot more in prep where we're just kind of navigating these human frustrations, right? Where I'm meeting them on the level of, I understand what it's like to never be listened to or never be heard. Right. But now you're expected to walk in and testify. And it, you know, now you have to have an opinion about something. And it's sort of
Now
this
I'm important. Oh,
whiplash.
now you want to listen to me, right? You didn't want to
Yes.
listen to me
Now
talk.
you're important. Exactly. So it's kind of navigating a lot more of these really human dynamics that maybe don't have quite as much to do with the specifics of the medical care or really the facts of the case. But it's just sitting with somebody in the frustration of just in your day-to-day life. Maybe you feel like, you know, you're kicked to the side a little bit. And then that will come out to play in the deposition process. 'Cause as we talk about constantly, as we write about constantly, those human factors do not just disappear because you've slapped a legal label on it, right? That's not how it works. All of that stuff still comes into play. And I think here that really comes into play. So there's a lot more sort of maybe clinical work sometimes, sort of psychological clinical work sometimes that gets done with nurses and just navigating those frustrations before we even move on to the legal parts of things.
Yeah, another unique issue that comes up in these med mal cases, and this is it happens with the physicians, but this is far more with the nurses. I mean, listen, I've been in the hospital. I've been with family members in the hospital. I mean, these physicians come by for like 4 minutes at a time every 12 hours. I mean, you're not seeing many physicians. You're seeing nurses. And so another thing that's kind of this like just brutal emotional injury is, you know, after the plaintiff and or typically close family members get deposed. When these nurses find out, wow, this family that I bonded with, that I was there for their family member or them personally, are now throwing me under the bus. I mean, that's another thing where nurses get really, really upset because they're perceiving lies, they're perceiving betrayal, right? That they were working so hard to do their job to improve and protect the health of their patient. And now, everything they did, I mean, it's a real backstab, isn't it? It feels like it's like somebody stabbing you in the back, right? I mean,
It really does. I mean, I it's very hard, and I mean, I resonate. I hold nurses in such incredible high esteem, really any medical professional, but nurses, have a special place in my heart. Certainly, I think back to, as you were mentioning, talking about with your mom and the hospital and everything. My many years ago, my youngest sister, who has special needs and was born with a hole in her heart, I'll never forget the nurses who helped my entire family navigate that surgery when she was just a few months old and all of that, and just the tremendous amount of emotional labor that these nurses are providing for the patients
It's huge.
cannot be understated, cannot be understated.
I think it's half
And
their,
how that
half their
plays
job.
in. I agree. I agree, because it's critical. If you can't have your patients be emotionally regulated, if you can't have your patients be calm, hear what's going on with them, navigate this incredibly stressful time that they're in, then how do we give a person care if they're having a panic attack? Right? We got to address the panic attack first. So nurses are at the front lines of that, and so it particularly hurts, I think, when patients or families, as you're saying, kind of have a different view of their care. It hits in a very personal, very raw way.
Sorry, my allergies are killing me. It's allergy time.
No. Everybody's sick right now. It's
I'm
what?
just
Crazy.
sneezing and coughing. Eyes watering. So I think where it comes in the litigation, I think where excuse me, I think where many defense attorneys, it's not their fault. This is more of an awareness thing, and that's why we do this podcast. That's why we help out on these cases, is I think some of the attorneys fail to appreciate the emotional burden on the witness and how the questioning of their care impacts this witness emotionally. In no other industry does this happen. In no other industry does this happen. And so defense counsel, it's really, and we have said this so many times, is your relationship with your witness, particularly these nursing witnesses, has to run deeper than other witnesses, I think. And I think you really need to ask, because I think the emotional burden when everything goes correct is really high. And then you have a adverse outcome of some sort, an injury, death. And it can be a real piling on of sorts, emotionally for these nurses. And if you don't ask about that, there's a lot of buildup. It's like a pressure cooker, and it's coming out. It's coming out at some point, and oftentimes it comes out with the depth. Can you talk a little bit about how having a cathartic moment in prep is actually really important? Because if that doesn't, if you don't, if those emotions do not get expressed in the prep, they will come out at the dep, and then you're going to be in full fight or flight, and the nurse is going to say something, if not multiple things, that are very, very harmful.
I mean, I think, you've said a few times that, nursing is a very difficult role to take on if you don't have some kind of internal motivation to do that kind of work day in, day out. It takes a lot out of a person, and it's something, I think, that kind of role is more akin to what people used to consider, a vocation, right? Something that you're kind of on some level kind of called to do, or you're trying to figure out where your path lies in life. I think nursing particularly attracts the sort of people who are really looking for a little bit of meaning in what they're doing in their kind of 40 to 60 hours a week, right? So a certain type of personality traits that tend to get collected within that group, I think. And this deposition, that their testimony is not happening in isolation, right? They have to go back to work. most of the time, right? Usually they're still working there. This isn't just something that's all encompassing in their life. They've got to turn around and see patients again. They've got to go back to the same place where maybe there was an adverse outcome and do something differently. And so there's a lot of human factors as we keep talking about. And yes, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but having that emotional cathartic experience, giving those individuals the opportunity to fully express the extent of how they're feeling in this situation is critical, right? And I think Steve and I just wrote a paper on this, and we were talking about this a little bit, that you know, it's not that simple. Sometimes it does get worse before it gets better, right? That sometimes the litigation team has to be careful not to kind of project the idea to their witness that we so desperately want everything to be okay, that we're really uncomfortable with you expressing anything that doesn't kind of align with that, right? And not allowing their witness to express the extent of how they're genuinely feeling in that experience, in that, you know, moment, because the team is sort of setting them up to feel as though they're not supposed to, they shouldn't, it's awkward, right? But you know, for the litigation team and for us, this is a moment in life. For them, this is their life, right? They can't take it out in isolation. Of course, it's going to affect them emotionally. So I think if we create a space within the litigation team where their witnesses do feel comfortable coming forward, even if it's they're having a panic attack on the floor in the moment with the team, right? No matter what the extent is, as far as how they're genuinely feeling, that matters. That's important, right? Because otherwise we're just
Absolutely.
putting a band-aid on it, plugging our ears, right?
100%. Let's get to the other side of the emotional spectrum, because this is a major problem. And physicians never do this. But I've seen a lot of nurses go on the other side. So they don't come out defensive or really emotional from a an aggressive point. They kind of come out the opposite, and it's the guilt fact. Like, they want to fall on the sword. Like, okay, well, there was an adverse outcome. I was the nurse. I must have done something wrong. I feel terrible. God, I should have did better. And this is now, there's a lot of self-doubt, just enormous amounts of guilt and almost shame. And I have, this is terrible to say, in over 20 years of doing this, I've seen multiple nurses after litigation quit the industry. Because it was so traumatic, the lawsuit was so traumatic, and they felt so guilty, saying, I can never go through this again. Can you talk a little bit about the differences when someone goes into guilt mode and shame mode? Because I actually think that's the more dangerous emotion. Somebody's angry, defensive, I can deal with that pretty easily. Somebody's in the shame mode, the guilt mode. And then remember, by the time you're meeting with them, maybe a year's gone by. And now, I mean, that's a big challenge, isn't it?
I wholeheartedly, I mean, I think guilt and shame are such incredibly powerful emotions, incredibly flooding emotions. And I mean, in psychology, we would consider, you know, guilt as something that's more internally motivated, right? And shame is something maybe we experience in sort of the presence of someone else. We feel as though we should be ashamed because someone else is sort of enforcing that shame. So it's this mix of both something that's coming from ourselves and something that other people are telling us we should experience. And that combo is just ripe for some real painful stuff coming out. I think it's really important when we're working with nurses who are dealing with a lot of guilt, especially, to give them the chance to come to a place where they can kind of own their own care, right? Sometimes I see this with litigation teams, and it's tempting, right, to just say, no, you did great. No, you're awesome. There's nothing wrong with your care, right? And we can say that till the cows come home, right? But what I try to do a little bit more during prep is allow that same conclusion to be internally motivated by the witness themselves, right? Let's go over your care in minute detail. Do you agree with what you charted here? What would you have done differently? Would you have done anything differently? Right? Which is just good prep for the litigation team as a whole, anyway, to get a sense of how they view the case. And it gives that nursing professional the opportunity to, in a more kind of neutral environment, as much as we could make it, step back, look at their care from a high level perspective, and go, wait a second. No, I agree with what I did. No, I own what I did. And I try to get to a place where I can say, do you think what you did was okay? And they go, yes. I try to get that to be internally motivated by them rather than something that we're placing on them and asking them to believe. And I think that that's possible to do, right? I think you work through those emotions. You acknowledge the way that the emotions, the guilt, all of that stuff is clouding your perspective of how you may have been treating this patient and looking at the flow sheets and looking at the charting, right? And if you can zoom out, be a little bit more objective about it, talk it through with the team, really get into the weeds of the care here, they start to realize it wasn't me, right? There are times when it is, right? We've all seen some pretty difficult, painful, adverse outcomes come out of med mal cases. But the bulk of the time, the majority of the time, especially with nursing care, it's not an easy, clean cut, you screwed up right here, right? It's not that simple, right? So zooming out and giving them a chance to come to that conclusion, I think is vital.
So advice I would give to trial attorneys, is something that I do with every nurse, and that you should start doing. It's very simple, and you don't have to have an advanced degree in psychology to do this. Is with every nurse. Actually, I do this with. Sometimes I change it up depending on who the witness is and what industry. But for nurses, this is what I do. Very early on, I asked them, I'm like, listen, on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 to 10, on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 meaning none, 10 meaning extreme, where are you at on anger, anxiety, right? And guilt. Draw it on the whiteboard, draw it on a piece of paper. And have them rate. Are you in 30 seconds? You will learn more about your damn witness than otherwise you would have known because you never asked that question because you're attorneys. It should be one of the first things you ask, right? So you get a witness that says, hey, I'm very low on guilt. I'm so-so on anger, but my anxiety is a 9. Okay, well, let's talk, right? So it spawns this discussion. But most attorneys don't do that. What do? They jump in. What do you remember? They jump into the chart. They start talking about legal things and you blow right past it. It's going to explode in your face if you don't assess this shit, right? And it's not hard. It's just something that, I mean, I don't think any attorneys get trained to do what we're talking about. But I think a basic assessment with all these nurses, scale 0 to 10, anxiety, anger, guilt. Tell what are your ratings? And then the follow-up is why? Because the other thing is if someone's low, say someone's a 3 on anxiety, okay, well, why are you a 3? And you may get the, hey, well, because I know I didn't do anything wrong. Right. And so you can build off of that confidence. Or if their anger is a 7, okay. Boy, that's above a 5. How come you're angry? I mean, obviously no one's happy being sued, right? So if you get an anger level below 5, that's kind of like within,
Awesome.
yeah. But if you get a 7, it's like, okay, well, why is like, what is it about this case or this situation that makes that a 7? Another good follow-up is how come it's not a 9? Right. So the same thing on guilt. Where are you at on guilt? Right. I'm a 5. Okay. Well, how come you're not an 8? Make them talk to you about it. This whole process that we just talked to would take you about 15 minutes in your witness prep, attorneys, and you would learn so much about your witness and your prep would go so much smoother. Now, granted, if you and I are there, Ava, we have the ability to do this far more efficiently and to a far more advanced level. And that's part of why we're there. But we understand you can't hire us on every case. But to the defense attorneys listening out there, that there's your free tool of the day. Okay, the 10-point scale on anxiety, anger, and guilt. And you do that with every one of the witnesses. And by the way, you do the same thing with the physicians, right? physicians coming
Absolutely.
at a little bit of different angle, but I would give the same exact rating for physicians. Now, physicians, rarely do you see a lot of guilt, personally. You're not gonna,
I
it's not gonna
agree.
be 0, 1, or 2.
At least not that they're going to cop to most of the time.
And the anxiety that can come and go. It's typically getting the anger part,
Right.
right? With the physicians. That's a different, that's a different podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the nurse practitioner. These are the most advanced nurses of all. The issue here, again, you're never going to have a confidence problem with these folks. Generally, they're the more emotionally stable of all these levels of nurses, right? They have a lot of very official decision-making power. They just have to have their stuff signed off by a physician. I mean, it's they're as close to independent as possible. And I think, again, I think the one kind of big problem with them is that they're not physicians. And the PA falls into the trap as well. I think the hardest part about their prep is getting them to understand, okay, where is my line? See, I think with when you have your general nurse, right? So you have the lower level nurse, the mid-level nurse, even the nurse manager, right? They kind of they generally know where their lane is. It's a lot easier to teach it. You get a nurse practitioner, that lane's pretty it's pretty narrow next to that physician lane. And they're going to get pounded with medical physician questions. And they're so close to being a physician that they can often get out of their lane and then start giving medical opinion. That's really, have you dealt with that? Because that I think that's one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you're spot on. It's definitely once you have your NPs or your PAs that are accustomed in their day-to-day life to essentially give opinions, and they're almost a practically right physician, right? Very close. That's particularly difficult to do. I mean, we talk a lot about in our prep the strategy as far as especially on the defendant side, right? You don't need to explain away, right, all of your care and things like that. And I think this is where if we can give the witness a little bit more insight into the strategy behind that, right, into why we're asking you to stay in your lane, into how this is going to ultimately help you, right, because we are here for you, right? I always tell witnesses, you're the person in the hot seat, right? We all get a walk out of the room. You're the one that has to answer the hard questions, right? It is only fair that we equip you with a little more understanding of the dynamics here so that you can be a little bit more comfortable with things like staying in your lane, right? I remember one prep I did with a clinical professional. They weren't a nurse practitioner, but they were a higher up in tech in a particularly niche area. And the attorney, it was a deposition prep, right? And this, the witness was a little bit uncomfortable with sort of staying in their own lane, with not giving opinions about everything. And the attorney did a really amazing job of, listen, if we were at trial, this is what it would look like. This is how I would give you the opportunity to really tell your side of the story. And they went on a whole kind of cross-examination with their own witness sort of situation there, and they let them really tangibly see, right, how we're not throwing you under the bus here. We're not asking you to just kind of shut up, right, for no good reason, right? And they laid out what it would look like if we had that shot. I think the more we can kind of draw back the curtain and let witnesses in on the strategy behind it, the whys behind it, it becomes a lot easier to kind of emotionally accept things like, I don't need to give my opinion about anything and everything, right? I don't need to sit here and talk for 30 minutes and kind of defend myself, right? That becomes a hell of a lot easier to kind of take if you know why and if you can see it. And it's not just something that your team's kind of talking about esoterically, but you go, aha. This is what it would really look like, right? If I did get the shot to tell my side, aha, I see what would happen here. I'm okay with it.
And I think the higher level nurses, particularly the nurse practitioners, are very vulnerable to pivoting.
Yeah,
They want to do the
exactly.
yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah,
Right.
but, and they need to be trained
Right.
to say, yes,
Right.
that's exactly what I did, period. And
Right.
own it, own it, owning it is what
Okay.
you need to do. This whole yeah, but you know how pivoting makes me nuts because it doesn't work. It's idiotic.
Yeah.
I think it's unethical, quite frankly, because it is an
Yeah.
invasive, and it may, it may make the witness feel better for 5 minutes, but then they're going to get clobbered for the rest of the depth.
Right.
Witnesses need to own their conduct, own it, and then shut, big glass, shut the blank up, right? That's what they need to do because that's what's most highly effective. And we know that. Okay, final topic, then we're going to get out of here. Ava, describe to me, this is kind of an easy question. And this is nursing in general, the susceptibility of nurses to reptile tactics and safety rules.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of safety training these nurses get is unlike any other industry.
Right.
Most of the hospital billboards and within the hospital, when I went to the hospital to see my mom, I shit you not, above the lobby, in the lobby, above the registration desk, guess what it said? Patient safety is our top
A
priority.
priority.
In the lobby.
Yeah.
I mean, and so can you just talk about a little bit about how nurses have a very, because of their job and their job, plus all the training that they have to get, and ongoing training, why they're so susceptible to the reptile safety rule attack.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you're absolutely right. It's they're constantly being trained in these very specific arenas about safety, right? It's hammered over and over again. And coupled with that, nursing is inherently, it's a care profession, right? It's a people profession. It's not, you're sitting in front of human beings day in, day out. So you could, I think when you're talking about safety, in the trucking industry or things like that, it's a little bit more removed from humans sometimes. But you can't isolate that in the medical industry. So it's right smack in your face. We're talking about a person, right? We're not talking about some, well, if you're, because is a a truck, harder to stop than a passenger vehicle, which is a little bit more kind of, there's nothing, there's not blood, sweat, and tears there, right? As
Exactly.
there is in medicine. So those questions hit a lot harder because they're often attached to the human being, I think. So reptile, it feels a little bit more personal, feels a little bit more powerful in that way. And yes, I mean, nurses are just, they're programmed with that messaging over and over again. Something that I do see sometimes with the reptile stuff and nurses as well is, although the hospital or their the organization where they work may stress all of this safety's top priority, safety, 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 many nurses who are just have to do the actual work and actually have their feet on the ground, recognize how that doesn't always align, recognize the inherent complexity in all of that. So I think I see a lot with nurses that some of it's just kind of, yeah, that's all very well and good, but let's deal with the reality. It's navigating a little bit of that as well. But yes, that because it's more human, because it's more personal, because it tangibly involves life, death, blood, survival, right? It hits a little bit harder, 100%.
And you said the magic word, programmed. They are programmed that way. So when we come in, that's why we have a special witness training system for these people, because we have to deprogram them, which, by the way, is no easy task, to deprogram them from that and then rebuild their cognitive schema to think of safety having a very different definition, right, legally and clinically. And
Right.
it's really, really hard. And that's why, so many attorneys like, yeah, my nurse got reptile and she said yes. And I told her not to say, it's like, well, yeah, because you didn't deprogram her. You can't just tell somebody that's programmed one way not to, because it's just not going to work. It's a really,
Reptiles
really,
emotional.
yeah. Yeah. It's a really advanced process. Okay. We have got to go. I know you're busy. You're going to go into jury selection here. I am going into other meetings. Ava, thank you so much. And I know that you're going to be coming on doing some more of these and even a couple solos. So I know our audience will be excited about that. To our audience, thank you so much. Happy New Year, everybody. I think this MedMail series is pretty cool. And we're going to do a couple more on this, and then we'll kind of go back to mixing it up, having different guests, different topics. But to our audience, thank you so much. This has been another edition of the Litigation Psychology Podcast, brought to you by Courtroom Sciences. Dr. Bill Kanaski, sit.